Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Good morning, people.
We're round ball champs.
We're round ball. We won the Super Bowl. You know, when we qualified.
Oh, dear. That tells you who we're dealing with here. It was our sports ball match. We qualified for the championship.
I know a little bit more about it, but it's, you know, we're in the setting of talking about endurance sport. So that kind of came out. It just blurted out.
The match.
Anyway, when we qualified for the Super Bowl, my brother-in-law texted our family chat and said, and they're from Chicago, okay? He's like, do you guys ever get sick of making it to the Super Bowl?
Oh, my gosh.
That was hilarious. We're like, no.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, it's been a big celebration for our community.
It has. And you know, so I have to, so I just feel like I'm going to, the thing that makes me so excited about the fact that they qualified and won round ball is because I feel like we are really lacking leaders today in a lot of arenas of our, you know, institutions. And I just feel like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes bring such amazing leadership to our community. And I feel like we are so lucky. And, you know, I feel like, you know, leadership lands a little bit differently when you are winning than when you are losing. Unfortunately, I hate to say that, but
it's true. There's more opportunity for the winners to lead.
Well, and I feel like people really think you're super neat and you're really like this huge example. And, you know, there's lots of, you have a big responsibility when you win. And so it's just so great to see kind of how Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid handle themselves. At least, you know, I don't dive in deep to the round ball stuff, so maybe that's inaccurate, but it just seems from my perspective, it makes me so happy just to have nice, good leaders that also got to win. It was great. Yeah. But I'm going to bring up a little bit of a little thing.
You're passionate about it for good reason.
Well, I am. So I'm just going to kind of, I might stick my foot in it on this one, but I'm just going to stand by it. And that's okay. Sometimes I step in shit. We just got to keep going. So I just, you know, in watching the parade, like, you know, you had all those people up there and I felt like there was a real missed opportunity by Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
To show up for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, arguably two of the most important people in his life at this point. In a sober way. And I just, you know, as somebody, I don't know if our listeners know that, but addiction and specifically struggles with alcohol, not me personally, but just have had a profound impact on my life. So it's something I feel super strongly about. And I just felt like, you know, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have both dealt with horrific things in their family around substance misuse and abuse, right? And it's really just been, I can't imagine. And it's so nice to see how they've handled it and they've kept their eye on the ball with what matters. But I just know that, you know, for what their families are going through in terms of having to deal with somebody else's substance use disorders is horrific. And I just felt like there was a real missed opportunity by Travis Kelce to show up for them on stage in a way that maybe took into consideration all that they've been through with substance misuse. And maybe Travis could have just held off on getting totally shit-faced for another couple hours. And nobody's really talking about that.
And in that public way and in that public setting.
Yeah, I mean, you also have a lot of kids and people that are really looking up to you. And I felt like it was, you know, a missed opportunity for that, obviously. But then also just kind of taking some time to consider two of the closest people in your life and what they've been through and how you might show up for them on their biggest day. Like, this is a really big day for them, too. And maybe you could have been in their corner and, like, showed up for them and just waited to get shit-faced and let them, like, kind of not have to deal with holding you up on stage. And, like, maybe they get to enjoy it in a way that lets them celebrate it in a way that's safe for them, too. And, you know, it's not something that I feel like is talked about much. And I feel really strongly, especially, you know, what they've been through. And I'm really proud of them. And it's really nice to see examples of people who've been through that and who have managing, it's hard to manage that in a very public way. You know, poor Patrick has that going into the Super Bowl, everything that happened with his dad. And of course, you know, his brother and Andy Reid's had horrific things happen and they've managed to really stay out of the gossip train with that. And I just...
And still go out there and perform at their absolute... And do their job.
And do their job, you know. And it's nice to see leadership like that in a time when we're kind of lacking that. So I felt strongly about it. Agreed. I just wanted to, you know, and I'm really proud of our round ball champions.
Yeah. And I missed that part of the parade. Actually was just alerted about the shooting and then tuned in to the news. And that's a whole thing. But, you know, I have to say, I am really proud of our city, our first responders, and just even those heroic people that jumped and, you know, grabbed that one of the shooters and took one of the shooters down and just held him down until the cops got there. So I just feel like I'm, you know, it's an unfortunate thing that our whole society faces right now. And I just think our city was, I'm really proud of our city and just our local hospitals and how, I mean, yeah, that's. Yeah. That was a positive result out of a negative thing, too.
Tell the people that you are in your life that you love them.
Yeah, there you
go. Hug them tight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold them close. Okay, so we are going to talk about what today?
Breathing. Go ahead. I am obsessed with breath work.
Okay, so people aren't breathing right.
I know.
And all of your stability, and I don't care what it is, if it's shoveling snow, taking the stairs, run, bike, swim, it doesn't matter. Your stability originates from the breath. Breathing incorrectly, there's an increased risk of musculoskeletal injuries. Talked about that for a second. And then there's a direct link with breathing patterns and athletic endurance. And there's a study that was done, and it's the article or the paper, in case you're interested, is the influence of breathing patterns on the pulmonary function of endurance athletes. And basically what they discovered is that 50% of the endurance athletes that they studied had dysfunctional breathing patterns. So that means half of our athletes and half of you all out there are not breathing correctly.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
It's kind of eye-opening. And then you had a book, Liz, that...
Well, I mean, it's a book that's called The Oxygen Advantage by Patrick McCowan, I think is how you say it. It just talking about, you know, how oxygen affects athletic performance.
So if you're wanting to dig a little bit deeper in there, if you don't believe us that it's impacting your performance, we should be breathing 360 degrees around. So what do I mean by that? Well, a lot of people, if you just right now lay on your back, prop your feet up on something, and very quietly, don't take big, huge inhales and exhales. Just breathe normally and try to figure out where you're breathing from. Are you breathing from only your chest? Are you breathing up into your neck towards your ears? Is your belly going up and down?
Is your diaphragm coordinating with your
pelvic
floor?
Right. Okay, the pelvic floor. So Liz knows more about this than I thought. Okay, so... But what a lot of people don't realize is maybe they're like, okay, yes, I know about the chest breathing and I know about the belly breathing and I'm supposed to be breathing from my belly, but you need to be breathing from both places and you also need to be breathing from your back. Mm-hmm. So you're right now you can probably feel your back touching the ground because you've got your feet propped up. So you can feel your low back and your mid back and your upper back touching the ground. When you're taking a breath, now take a larger breath, you should be expanding and you should feel that low, mid, and upper back pressing into the ground. So now we've got 360 degrees around, and it's like a barrel shape. So starting from the top of your shoulders all the way down below your pelvis. Let's talk about where the pelvic floor should be with that. Okay, so some people don't know about their pelvic floor, that they have one. No, men and women have this pelvic floor, and that's kind of that bowl, that sling that's in between your legs and your groin. And when you are inhaling in, that pelvic floor should be relaxed. And a lot of people, it's not relaxed.
Well, and so, I think that's might make people's eyes glaze over, because I feel like when I started learning about it, I'm like, I can't just sit here and be like, let me relax my pelvic floor.
Well, if it's relaxed, you probably don't, you it's probably fine.
But it's not something, it's not like your bicep where it's like,
no.
I mean, I feel like it's much more... elusive, and it's very important, but I don't feel like you can't just be like, relax your pelvic floor and everybody's gonna know what they're talking about.
Right. It's the same muscles that you would use to prevent yourself from peeing your pants or pooping your pants.
And it should be relaxed when you breathe
in. When you inhale, that should be relaxing. And a lot of people, so if you really have trouble with this and you don't understand, mm-hmm. pelvic floor therapists are awesome. And sometimes you only just need like one appointment with them to get it.
That's
or work with a physical therapist that's not a pelvic floor specialist. They can also help you.
And it's really hard. When I had to work on this, it took me, I think I worked for a month before I could coordinate my breathing correctly.
Right. And so you may get this right away. You may understand this pelvic floor part right away.
But so let's back up because I feel like people don't like the pelvic floor may be like five steps down the line. I mean, even just like belly breathing or like diaphragm or, I mean, there's.
Right. So
you, I feel like this gets confused.
Okay. Yeah. So let's just take the pelvic floor out of it. If you know what it is, great. Follow this instruction. When you inhale in, everything is expanding out 360 degrees around
your
barrel.
And when you say everything, like, so if I have my hands, like, say I'm putting my hands around my rib cage right now, I'm going to feel my, like, I have my hands on the side of my rib
cage. It's going to open up like an umbrella.
Right. And
all the way around.
So you're going to feel it in the front, side, and back.
Right. All the way up from below your neck down, all the way down into the pelvic floor. But
like full body breathing.
Full body breathing. Inhale. And when you exhale, everything does the opposite. It pulls inward, belly comes in, the whole rib cage closes down like an umbrella, and the pelvic floor comes up. Not so it's just like so tight, it's just, again.
But you know what's so interesting about, have you read the book Breathe?
No, not
yet. Oh my gosh, it is the most interesting book. It's Breathe. I think it's like the new science of a lost art is what the subtitle of it is.
Oh, yeah.
But he also talks about the difference between breathing, like when you nose breathe versus mouth breathe,
yes.
and how that like changes how the oxygen enters your body and how oxygenated the blood is and how much. So like during Ironman, I will use, like if I hit a place on my bike where like I can kind of relax a little bit, I will nose breathe to help bring down my heart rate and oxygenate things. And so I'll just spend a few minutes.
You'll inhale through nose, exhale through
my
mouth.
Yeah. So I breathe to help bring
which
everything.
Which it's very challenging to do when you're challenged cardiovascularly at the moment.
Course.
Which so to try to try
but
to
I've also
nose,
been
but
so on my Saturday spin classes we've been working on that during like between intervals. So right now it's winter, so I'm teaching a spin class with my athletes via Zoom, and so we've been talking about that, watching like during the recovery part of our workout, breathing in through your nose and watching your heart rate come down and helping your body like do recovery.
I love that so much. I think that is awesome.
Yeah.
One way to practice this, and I love the trainer for this purpose too, especially for biking, is that one of the techniques I use in the clinic is I'll take a TheraBand and we'll wrap it around chest and then also around belly. It's like waist and chest. Not so like super, super tight, but pretty snug so that you can feel yourself breathing into that TheraBand and you can feel that 360 degrees all the way around. And you can do this so easily on the trainer. Maybe just during the warm up, not for the whole crazy ride, but maybe if you're struggling with
it. Be careful. We know our audience. If a little's good, then let's just wrap our body
in. Talk about blood flow restriction. Just tie it down as tight as you can. Okay. But so anyway, that's breath work. And Liz just had said at the start of this, when we were starting this recording, she said, breathe, because we have to do a little breathing just to kind of calm ourselves down and not sound like we're crazy. And so
I don't know if we succeed, but
yeah, maybe we don't succeed. But anyways, that made me go, oh my gosh, we should talk about breath work for a second. And how many minutes are we into this podcast now? But my point is that if you're not breathing properly, it's not just going to affect your heart rate and all these things during sport, but your stability. And we aren't going anywhere efficiently, strong, power, speed, none of it. High risk of injury if we're not breathing right, just because we lose our stability.
Okay, so I feel like you said that really scary thing, and then you're looking at me and I'm going to be like, well, I'm going to start breathing right. But I'm like, I don't really know what you're talking about. Can you break it down? Or is it just what you were just talking about?
It's just what we were just talking about.
So if you were
it's just that it is related very much to your stability. So I don't care how strong your glutes are.
Okay, so wait,
or how
stop.
Great your running form is, if you're not breathing right, it's going to impact it.
So, okay, but so if you just are listening to this and you're like, where should I start? What, do you just want to start with like trying to think about expanding your ribs while you breathe to make sure you're getting a nice big breath?
Expand
your belly?
Yeah, and when we say ribs, it's not just your belly when we say ribs, but it's all the way back. Those wrap around all the way to the backside. Okay. And your low back, where there aren't any ribs, that should be expanding as well.
So the circumference where your ribs kind of meet your belly, you want to make sure that whole thing, like just for basic, like a cue for somebody who doesn't really understand what
the whole thing is. Wrap your hands when you're laying on your back, like with those legs propped up and stuff. You could put your hands there and feel it pressing into your hands if you're not feeling it press into the floor. And literally, I had an athlete in yesterday who is a CrossFit, you know, CrossFitter and a runner. And I realized, you know what? We have a lot of stability issues, hypermobile person. Okay. But I'm like, we need to go back to the beginning. We need to breathe. She's not breathing right at all.
Probably none of us are.
And so then I had her do a squat. Like she was correcting her squat form, working on squat. And then I was like, okay, let's add the breathing in here. It was so challenging for her. She couldn't do it during a squat at all. And she was lifting 100 pounds sandbags the day before.
Okay, so time out.
So we did it standing. We practiced standing for her. And that she's going to have to work on that for a while.
So this is the thing. Is that this is, I feel like probably 99% of us aren't doing it right.
Right.
So let's just take a time out. And if we are just, like, if you were just saying to somebody, you want to start working on your breathing, are you, like, not even while you're trying to exercise, just like while you're cutting carrots.
Right. Well, first you're going to lay down on your back and start it. Then you can do it when you're sitting up. Then you can do it when you're standing. Then you can do it when you're walking.
But what if I'm just trying to incorporate it into my life because I can't sit on the floor? Like, I'm sitting in the car, carpool, waiting to pick up my kid in line.
So absolutely. Standing in line at the grocery store.
Simple thing. All I want to do is breathe. I just want to think about expanding my rib cage and breathing so my belly goes out when I breathe. And then I breathe in, everything expands. I breathe out, everything collapses.
Yeah, your umbrella opens. Your umbrella closes.
So just starting with that very basic thing. I mean, so this is where I'm, because, so I do chair massage for businesses around town, right? And so I always start that with people breathing in and breathing out. And I would say that probably at least 80% of the people, when they're taking a deep breath in, have no movement through anything. So right.
Or their shoulders are going up into their ears and that's it.
And not even that. Like, it's like they're dead. I mean, it's crazy to me.
And so you're not getting oxygen to the brain. But
this is the thing. The reason that I'm bringing it down to something so basic is because I think it's so far over. Like, we're talking about the pelvis and the diaphragm, but I think just the basic. Yeah. Like, we're just not even move. Like, and I don't think people understand what that means. So it's just like, really just start with, like, put your hands on your ribs and see if they move. Put your hands on your belly and see if it moves. And it does. You don't
have to put your hands at your back. Mm-hmm. See if it moves.
And just take a moment.
Yeah. The best place to start with it is, if you have the opportunity, is to lay on your back with your feet propped up. Just only because you want to do it with no distractions, no postural, and it kind of presses your back into the ground a little bit so you can feel it more. Then you can be like, okay, I get what they're saying, right? Then you can go do it sitting, standing in the car while you're waiting for your kids, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So don't try to stress yourself out doing it while you're doing something else.
Sure. But the other thing with it...
Oh, God.
I know she's going to... Well, no, because as somebody, you know... Our listeners may not know that I am not the calmest human on the face of the planet. So I've had to do a lot of work with the breath to and I also know that, like, I have come to learn that I hold my breath without realizing
it. Oh,
and
my God,
when I'm working, which is something I think a lot of people do. Starting with just being aware of whether or not you're actually breathing. Like, sometimes I'm like, do I breathe like once a minute? I mean, I really think, because I'm a swimmer, like, I just don't breathe. So even if you're not laying down on the floor, like, just like breathe, take a breath in and like feel your body move. Like,
yeah.
You know, well, just start with that.
Yeah. Start on the floor so you know how to do it properly. Then you can transition into doing it in different postures. Then you can transition into doing it into your daily life. Then you can transition into doing it into sport.
Yeah.
It's not going to come overnight. It's going to take some time. So my athlete that I had in the other day.
And I feel like that's the proper PT way to do it.
Yeah. It's a proper way to do anything with progression. We're not going to go from couch to marathon in 2 weeks, right? Yeah. Like, that's just, everything is going to take some time. You have to relearn it because you've been doing it incorrectly for a really long time.
So I just start, I just do it in my car. I don't lay down on the floor.
You don't have to because you know how to do it properly now, though. You know which direction. So you don't have to do that all. But once you learn how to do it properly, and then you got to remind yourself. And it just be patient with yourself. Learn how to do it. And then if you do not feel like, I don't get what they're saying at all, I cannot do it, then that's a good opportunity to go in to have an evaluation with a physical therapist. Have them show you. It's a one visit.
It is.
And then,
that book, Breathe, is really, we'll put a link to the show notes, and they have some videos online that are, I mean, it's just, but it's a change
for
life.
There are some videos online that are good. But if you're, sometimes when you watch a video, then this is what gives me the hives too, because people will say, why don't you just put all these videos out? And it's like, well, okay, but I still can't see if the person's doing it right to give them the cues. But so I think if you struggle, it's good to meet with someone about it. But, and then, yeah, give yourself some grace, take some time, figure it out. But my athlete who is going to work on that next visit she comes in, I bet you she's doing a really good job with it in standing, and then we can incorporate it into her squat, and then we can incorporate it into running in the two books.
Well, I just, yeah, okay, so some fun things. So, you know, I never understood why, until I read this book, why they say breathe in through the nose. Like, okay. And I can never remember, breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth, like, but the nose is crucial because it clears the air, it heats it, and it moistens it for easier absorption. And so all of the little tubercles, as it's going through, like, your sinus cavities and stuff, it's actually cleaning the air, and then it's warming it, and then it increases how much oxygen is in it. So then when you're breathing in that way, it makes it more, the way that the oxygen is then put into the blood as you breathe through the nose makes it, like, it supplies more oxygen to the body. And so that's why it's more effective to breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth. It doesn't really matter because you're just discarding. But
does it also humidify it? Uh-huh. Does it say, okay.
Yeah.
So now, question. If you in, so, because there's times when I'm running, you know, where, like, breathing just in through the nose is not going to cut it. That's not going to, like, it doesn't feel good, right? And you can practice that. But if you inhale through the nose and the mouth at the same time, is that still beneficial?
Oh, I think then you get part of the effect from breathing in through. But, you know, I do work on nose breathing with athletes when you're really, like, either if you want some, like, deep recovery and you want them to really go slow enough, and that's a really good way to keep your effort. Right? And then it also helps just practice and develop that ability to breathe through the nose when you're doing an athletic, you know, endeavor. But what's so interesting is that, so that actually when you breathe in through the right and the left nostril, it does different things.
What?
Yeah, it's fascinating. The nose is fascinating, people. The right nostril is a gas pedal. And so it activates the sympathetic nervous system, or the fight or flight mechanism, that puts the body into a more elevated state of alertness and readiness. Inhaling through the left nostril has the opposite effect, and it works as kind of a brake system to the right nose's accelerator. So they're actually breathing, like, practices that do right and left nostril breathing because of how it affects. And, like, sometimes if you have something, like, if you're somebody that has the left side nostril that's blocked and you don't know it can affect your whole nervous system because you're going in through the right and it affects how it's
accelerating. Oh my God, you guys.
I mean, it's amazing.
Master course.
No, it's very exciting.
There
are dozens of alternative nostril breathing techniques. There's a whole technique, I can't even say the name, but this is the best. Okay. Working with different area, the turbinates in the nose will heat, clean, slow, and pressurize the air so the lungs can extract more oxygen with each breath. It's fascinating.
It is. And, you know,
But we're not done. I have the most mind-blowing thing that you are just going to...
But can I say something about that nose?
I'm very excited about this.
When I'm running, I breathe in through both the nose and the mouth. And when I have new runners, they ask this question. Some of them have asked me this question about the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's all I have to say.
Okay. I thought we were going.
We're not the only ones that are crazy.
This is the most bananas.
Okay. The most bananas. Oh, let's hear it.
The interior of the nose, it turns out.
Wait, the interior?
Of the nose. You're the inside of your nostrils.
Okay.
Is blanketed with erectile tissue, the same flesh that covers, you know, all of the...
the other erectile parts of the body?
Yes. And, wait, where did it go? It's so... because, like, think about it when you, like crying or something and how that all gets blocked up. So it's reacting the same way that erectile tissue does. Yes, and it says what researchers eventually managed to confirm was that nasal erectile tissue's mirrored state of health. It would become inflamed during sickness or other states of imbalance. If the nodes became infected, the nasal cycle became more pronounced and switched back and forth quickly. Blah, blah, blah. Isn't that fascinating?
Okay, so if you guys want to know more about how important your breath is.
It is.
Then there are many books out there. We are going to put in our show notes the two books that Liz has referenced here and the article that I have mentioned.
Oh my gosh, and now we're going to be quiet.
We are really done.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember,
we are in this together. Until next time.